So the Ramban here is talking about what man was allowed to eat and what man is not allowed to eat. So first he starts by quoting Rashi here in Breishis Aleph, Pasuk Chav Tes. And Rashi says, Lo hirsho li adam uli ishto lahamis birya v'lechol basar. Man and his wife were not permitted to kill any creature in order to eat its flesh. Because the Torah says, Ach kol yerek esev. The Torah says that man is only allowed to eat the herbs. Yochlu yachtov kulam, meaning that was permissible for all creatures. So man and the animals were in the same boat here, so to speak. They couldn't kill other animals to eat the flesh, but they could eat vegetation. Ukshebo b'nei Noach. But after the b'nei Noach came out of the teva, following the mabul. Is then hitir lahem kol basar. At that point, God permitted them to eat meat. And how do we see this? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, kol remes asher hu chai lachem yia la'ochla, any creature that lives and has mobility, I guess, romes, lachem yia la'ochla. This is what Hashem told Noach in Bereshis Perek Tes, I believe it is, when he came out of the teva, ki yerek esav nasati lachem eskol. Now I'm giving you all living creatures, as I had given you previously, yerek esav, the green herbs that grow from the ground. And Rashi says, ki yerek esav shi tarti le'odom arishon, just as I had allowed. I permitted man before the mabul to partake of the herbs, of the green herbs. Is he tarti lachem es kol? Now that you have come out of the teva, you're allowed to eat everything. Loshon Rashi. V'chein pirish harav b'mesechta Sanhedrin. And you'll find the same idea in Rashi's commentary on Mesechta Sanhedrin. And there Rashi says, Ulechol chaya sa'aretz, which is the very next pasuk here in Breishis, Lachem ulechayos nasati hasovim veshailonos veskol yerek esav liochla. I have given you and all the animals the produce, the vegetation that grows from the ground, the fruits of the trees, and the vegetables that grow. This is all given for you, man, to eat. So that was man before the mabul. Vim ken yia pirush es kol yerek esav li ochlov es kol yerek esav. So Rashi is adding an effect of vav to the es kol yerek esav. Vi eno ken, the Ramban doesn't agree to add that vav. Aval nasa li odom uli ishto, but rather was a difference between man and the rest of the creatures. Man was given kol esav zorea zerav kol pri eitz. Man was allowed, he was permitted to eat anything that grew, including seeds and fruits of the tree. But for the rest of the creatures, nasan kol yerek esev, only the green herbs were given, but not velo pri ha'etz velo hazroim, neither the fruits of the tree, nor the seeds from the ground, or the legumes. V'ein macholam yachad kulam b'shova. According to the Ramban, man and the animals were not equal in what they could partake of. There was a difference between man and the animals. But one thing is clear, that even according to the Ramban, Rashi is accepted that the flesh of animals was not permitted to man before the mabul. Ach basar lo hurshabo, man had no license to eat the flesh of the animals, ad until b'nei Noach. And the Ramban adds Kedas Rabboseinu, and this is supported by the statement. This is in support of the statement of the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, V'upshuta Shom Mikra. And if you read the psukim carefully and you compare them, the psukim here in Breishis Aleph and the psukim there in Breishis Tes after the Mabul, you will come to this conclusion. It's very, very clear. But here the Ramban gives us an insight. Why is it A, that man is not allowed to partake of the animal flesh before the mabul, and then why should it change after the mabul? Meaning, okay, so we came to this conclusion, but let's understand why. V'haya zeh, this is the Ramban's own chidush, mipnei shebalei nefesh atnua, all those creatures that have mobility, and look how he calls the animal, he describes the animals as balei nefesh, they have a certain soul, yeshlem ktsas mala b'nafsham, they have a certain elevated soul, or at least some element in their soul that raises them above the rest of the creatures. They're not like herbs and vegetation and other inanimate objects. Nidmu ba, through their nefesh, the animal soul, they become similar to balei hanefesh amaskeles, to man who has the intelligent soul. In other words, even though the animals don't have the intelligence that man has, but there is some soul in an animal, and the mobility of the animal indicates that its soul elevates the animal to a certain level. So man is part of this kingdom, of the animal kingdom, although the man has a superior soul to the animal, but nevertheless, the basic soul is common to both man and the animal. The Yeshlahem, and animals have bechira, they have a certain element of choice, b'tovasam, to try to seek out that which is for their benefit, umizoneim, and to seek their sustenance, their food. And not only that, v'yivrchu min atzar, they have the capacity to decide to run away from things that could cause pain, v'amisa, and death. V'akosav omer, and the Pasuk says in Koheles, Kiyodea ruach b'nei adam, that man I know has a ruach, has a spirit. Ha'ole hi lamala, it goes up. The ruach habehema, but the animal also has a ruach. Hayoredes hi lamata la'aretz, but it's very much connected down to this physical earth. But the Ramban sees in this pasuk a clear proof for the premise that both the animal and man share something, namely this ruach, or this neshama, this nefesh, I should say, not neshama, but a nefesh, just that man's nefesh is superior to the animal's nefesh. But nevertheless, they, insofar as man and the animal kingdom have this commonality, that they both have a nefesh, man is not allowed to take the nefesh of an animal. So the Ramban is fascinating here because, yeah, we have all sorts of movements today, you know, animal rights movements and so forth. Who would think that the Ramban would raise the banner of the animals? But he's really putting the animals on a serious level. You know, we shouldn't just treat them as if they're nothing. They have a nefesh. Each animal has a nefesh. I don't know if the Ramban would advocate calling an animal by name, you know, Elsie the cow or Butchie the dog, but in any event, he certainly insists that the animal nefesh is to be taken seriously. The animal has a vague kind of decision-making process. It's limited to his own self-preservation, whether it's food or to save his life. He runs away from fire and this. But nevertheless, the decision-making process of an animal is a reflection of the fact that the animal has a soul. However, kasher chatu, after the sin, now the Ramban says they sinned, chatu. He doesn't specify who sinned. But he says, Hishchis kol basar estar kol ha'aretz. Right? This is the pasuk at the beginning of Noach, before the mabul is brought on man. So it says that all of man, Hishchis darko, somehow corrupted his behavior pattern. And kol basar refers even to the animals. So again, I don't know where this corruption begins from. Maybe it begins from man, and then it impacts on the animal. But whichever way it goes, the animals are in a state of corruption. I mean, Rashi brings down at the beginning of Noach that ba min al she'eno mino, the animals were really doing things that were terribly destructive. V'nigzar she'amusu b'mabul. As a result, the animal kingdom lost its right to exist. They would be destroyed in the mabul. Yet we know that even after the mabul, animals existed. They were preserved. They were saved. Says the Ramban, ba'avur Noach. It's only for the sake of man, in this case Noah, that the animals were spared and the species would be maintained. So from each animal, we would take X number of animals. Let's say the Beima Tmeus, Beima Tahoros, right? Pairs and sevens. And now the animal no longer exists by virtue of his own right to exist. He's forfeited his right to exist. By right now, all the animals should be destroyed in the Mabul. X number of animals will be saved for the Kiyum Amin, to preserve the species of the animals, but it's all Bavur Noah. Now, even though the question is obvious, man himself sinned as well. I mean, the flood was going to destroy mankind just as well as it was going to destroy the animal kingdom. But the difference is that there was one man, Noah, who would be saved, and from him the mankind would be propagated. It means that there's a new man after the Mabul. Man before the Mabul is fundamentally different than man after the Mabul. So the man before the Mabul, according to the Rabban, is part and parcel of the animal kingdom. He's a member of all the other animals, and therefore he doesn't have a right to take the life of another member. He's not superior enough. He doesn't rise that much above the animal, such that now he can take the animal and eat its flesh. But after the Mabul, the animals were down, 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 and man went up, 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 meaning that Noach was an Ish Tzaddik. He was one who would be spared, and the world would be propagated from him. Now the distance, the discrepancy between man and the animal is so great, man's superiority over the animal kingdom is significant, is dramatic enough to allow man the moral right, so to speak, the permission to take animal life.
Sorry, but isn't there, I mean, going back to, and I don't know enough about this detailed enough, and you're in a much better position to discuss it, but going back to the Rav's idea of man, of Adam 1 and Adam 2, mm-hmm. right, and there's a difference in the first parak that man appears to be part of the animal kingdom. He's Adam, he's part of the rest of Masa Bereishis. Whereas by the time the story is retold in the second parak, there's a change already in this, because now he's a human being. There is a sense of superiority, and I know the Medrash goes and talks about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Adam to go ahead and name all the animals and give them based on their teva and everything. So there obviously from the beginning had to be some type of right. hierarchy and
for sure
and, a difference between man and the animals just based on their teva and everything that took place.
Right, man has a neshama which an animal doesn't. Man is vayipach bi'ap of nishmas chayim, which God Himself blows existence into man, a spiritual existence into man, which obviously the animal doesn't have. But there is one level of a soul which is called a nefesh, it's not a neshama,
right.
which is common to both man and the animal. Now, maybe the animals before the Hishchis Kol Basar episode at the time of the Mabul were really, in a sense, pure creations. They were fulfilling God's will, they didn't deviate, there was no corruption, there was no contamination. And insofar as man and animal both shared a common soul, man, of course, has intellect, he has spiritualities, vayipach bi'apav, but with respect to that soul, man, says the Ramban, is common, has something in common with the animal. And that commonality, and that significance of the animal's soul, which has its own independent right to exist, man doesn't have the right to violate that right of the animal to exist. Now, this is really the basis for vegetarianism. Rav Kook himself, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, was a vegetarian. And in a sense, what a vegetarian is doing is he's not creating something that's anti-Jewish, that's antithetical to Jewish thought and belief. He's really going back to the original pristine world that was created by God, in which the animal kingdom really had significance. And the nefesh of the animal was worthy enough to be preserved, and man had to respect the right of the animal to exist. Now what happens is that something affects the entire universe. Again, I can't tell you that the animals sinned in the same way that man sins, but whatever level of bechira the Ramban is willing to attribute to the animals corrupted that and reached the lowest level in which they forfeited their right to exist. Now they'll only be saved because they're nachshlep, as they hold on, so to speak, to the feet of Noach, you know, and they enter into the table because they're necessary for Noach. So man now, after the Mabul, is so much greater than the animal. The animal has lost its right for preservation, is therefore man is given the right to take the flesh of animal. Does it mean, therefore, that the Torah advocates going ahead and killing animals left, right, and center? I don't know. Let's take a look at the next piece in the Ramban. The Ramban says, even after the Mavel, it's not just a carte blanche, heter, under all circumstances, man can kill animals. He says, Nasan lel mishut lishchot. He says, you don't just kill animals, but rather you slaughter animals through shchita, ritual slaughter, velechel, for the purpose of eating, so that you could preserve yourself, ki kiyumam ba'avuro, because now the animals are living for the sake of man. Let's see if Rabbi Shavelli has anything. Oh, he says that the Radak has a similar approach. The Imkol Zeb, but even though that, granted that man now, after the Mabel, has the right to slaughter an animal and take its meat for food, lo nosan lohem reshus banefesh. Even after the Mabel, there is something in the animal which is called the nefesh, and that part of the animal which contains the nefesh, it's the source of the animal's soul, that has to remain untouched, out of the realm of man, of human consumption. Where do we see this? Number one, asar lehem aver min achai. So you can't just pluck a flesh from a live animal, because as long as the animal is alive, that flesh contains within it part of the nefesh of the animal. Only after the animal dies is the flesh of the animal separate from its nefesh, as a separate entity. And not only that, says the Rabban, number two, hosef lem b'mitzvah, b'mitzvos, amongst the various mitzvos that man is given, less are kol dam. We're not allowed to eat or drink blood. And why is that? Mipnei shehu ma'amad la'nefesh. It's the blood that's closest to the animal's soul, because it gives the animal's soul its oxygen to live. Kedichsiv ki nefesh kol basar, the nefesh of all creatures, domo b'nafshohu. In other words, the nefesh and the dam are identified one with the other. The dam is in the nefesh is in the dam. The omer livnei Yisrael, dam kol basar lo sochu ki nefesh kol basar damohu. The Ramban refers to various psukim in Parshas Kedoshim in Sefer Vayikra, where the Torah identifies the dam of an animal with its nefesh. Ki hitir haguf bechai she'eno medaber achar hamisa. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, permitted man to partake of the animal's body once he's no longer alive, but lo anefesh atzma, but not the nefesh of the animal itself, which is inherent in the dam. And the Ramban adds a very interesting paragraph here about shechita. You know, the Ramban is very famous for looking for tamei amitzvahs. You know, he always tries to give an explanation, underlying explanation. Shechita is a very difficult thing. You know, it's come under attack today in different parts of the world, and you know, the anti-shechita laws. Even when I was a youngster, they had these anti-Semitic movements to try to outlaw ritual slaughter. The Ramban wants to come counter argue here with the reason for shechita, because in order to take out the nefesh, we need a way of killing the animal which the nefesh goes out as fast as possible. And the shechita is at the neck, and when you sever the neck, the throat, so the blood comes gushing out. So this is the way we separate between the nefesh of the animal and the basar of the guf of the animal, so that we eat the basar. But number two, he says, is another reason for shechita. Umasha amru tsar balichayim doraisa. And in addition, the Chazal say, it's a Gemara Bava Metzia, that the Torah itself is concerned about the suffering of an animal, and we have to minimize the suffering of the animal. And shechit is the way to minimize the suffering of the animal. Again, I don't know what what the evidence is and what the anti-Semites are claiming, but that's the Ramban's understanding. And this is so important, the shechit is zu birchasenu. This even requires a bracha. You know, you think that shechit is just a matir in order to allow us to eat the animal after it dies and remove the Isur Avram Nachai, but it's not a mitzvah. It's not something you make a bracha on. There are many Isurim, but we don't make brachas on Isurim. But the Ramban says that this whole package gives us a positive mitzvah of shechita, because through that shechita we are limiting the suffering of the animal. This is something which reflects the sanctity of the Jewish people, that God sanctifies us with the shechita. The Rabbi gives us a footnote over here. He says, "Hadaber, I will speak later at great length. Be'inyan mitzvah bedam behagi l'sham, when I get up to it in Gomer Hashem Olai, if God will allow me to do so." So now I want to go back to a previous Ramban and see if we can find the connection between the two. If you just turn one page to Pasuk Chavav, Vayomer Elokim Nasa Adam. This is the very famous issue in all the commentaries. The Bible critics jump in there. How could it say Nasa Adam, that man, you know, that God says we will make man, let us make man, and he's talking in the plural as if to say there are more than one God creating man. And the Ramban has something very unique to say about this, and I think we should take this Ramban and put it together with the Ramban about animals. That the Ramban is so careful about animals and the nefesh of the animal and the creatures of God that have to be preserved. Says the Ramban, Nisyached ba'asiyas ha'odom mamar. In other words, amongst all the creatures that were created, the earth brought forth the animals that have mobility and walk upon the earth, but yet that wasn't sufficient. There had to be a special mamar for the creation of man. Why? Bavur godel ma'aloso. Because he is superior, this is what you were talking about before, to all the other animals. Ki ein tivo kiteva hachayav habehema asher bara b'mamar kodem lo. His nature, his essence, is fundamentally different than that of all the animals and the creatures that were created by God in the previous mamar. Okay, fine. So now the Ramban has explained, justified the fact that there's a separate creative process for man. But what about Nasa? What about the plural, let us make man? So Rashi says on the word Nasa that God is addressing the angels, the Malachi Hashareis. And Rashi gives a whole explanation that man is similar to the angels and in a sense competes with the angels. Both are beings that have a certain spiritual element that belongs to the higher spheres, to the Shamayim. Of course, the angels are simple beings. Right, every angel represents just one idea, one virtue. Man is a very complex being. He has freedom of choice. He has a whole constitution of a mixture of bad and good, inner contradictions, challenges, evil inclinations, suffering, and man has to sift through all that. And in a sense, you know, the angels are going to be slighted by the creation of man. You know, everyone wants to be the big shot, and there's no one down the block that's competing with them. Everyone wants to think, well, I have the best show in town, and now God is going ahead and creating man. So what does God do? He introduces the idea of creation to the angels, and he says, you know what? I'm inviting you in. You participate in the process. But by doing so, he's, in a sense, circumventing the or at least minimizing the problem of the angels being jealous of man. And then Rashi has this whole thesis that an Adam Gadol, someone who can make decisions on his own, you know, he's the CEO of the company, but nevertheless he should call in the lesser offices and try to get a committee and make a decision amongst them, and that teaches us humility. So basically, according to Rashi's approach, the Nasa is God addressing the angels. And if you look in the Midrashim, there's a long discussion about the angels. You know, some angels said it is worth creating man. Some said it wasn't worth. You know, Emes and Sholem and all the discussion. So there's definitely a support for Rashi in Chazal, but the Ramban says that that's not pshat. He says hapshat anachon b'milas nasa, but rather the correct interpretation of nasa. We've already discussed earlier, we already emphasized in our introduction to Parshas Bereishis way back when that God created ex nihilo only on the first day. Bria, yesh me'ayin, only took place on one day. And on that day, God created hylitic matter, you know, some chomer hiyuli, from which everything was formed subsequently in the other 5 days of creation. V'akach min hayisodos ha'heim, God created certain fundamental elements of the universe, like the water and the earth and the fire and the wind, And from these yisodos, mi yisodos ha'hem, nehanivraim yotzar v'yosa. It's no longer bria, it's now yitzira. Yitzira means forming or giving forth, producing something from something that's already in existence. So you have this formless matter, and from this formless matter, God created the four yisodos, which are the basic elements of the universe, of the material physical universe. And from those yisodos, he created all the specific creatures. But again, it's not called creation really, it's Yotzar V'Yosa, it's Yitzira Nasiya, Kasher Nosan B'mayim Koach. He gave the water, which is one of the four Yisodos, the power, the energy, Hasharots, Lishrots Nefesh Chai, to produce those creatures that live in the water. V'hoya Mamar B'hem Yishrutzu HaMayim. Again, it's a plural because God is addressing Mayim and telling Mayim to generate, to produce all those creatures that live in the water. In the case of the animals, Hoya Mamar Bibehema Totsi Haaretz. So the Mamar in this case, the declaration of God addressing the Aretz, the universe, and saying to the universe, produce the Behema, produce the animal. So once again, the theory of the Ramban is that past the first day, in every other day of creation, everything is created by addressing one or the other of the yisodos and asking and instructing those yisodos to produce whatever yitzira has to be produced. Now, given that pattern, man likewise should be produced from something, not yesh me'ayin. So God is turning to one of these sodos in order to produce man, just like he did in the case of the shrotzim, in the case of the chayos and the behemos. Says Ramban, Omar biodam nasa. God is saying in plural, nasa, let us make man. Klomar ani v'ha'aretz haniskeres. Here it doesn't say the word aretz, because in the previous pasuk it says the word aretz when God commands the aretz, the universe, to produce animals. Now God is commanding the universe to produce man. Once again, I think the Ramban is giving a tremendous amount of significance to the aretz. Aretz, I think, representing the physicality, the materiality of creation. And the aretz is participating in the very act of producing man, just as it is done previously in the case of producing the animals. So the animals and man share one basic element, one basic feature, and that is that they were both produced, both created from the aretz. The aretz, together with God, in a certain partnership arrangement, produces not only the animal kingdom, but man itself. And that's the nasa adam. Meaning, let us, you, aretz, and me, God, create together as a partnership, man. What's this partnership? What does God do, and what does the aretz do? Well, how do they both achieve respectively their act of creation in man? So the Ramban divides it up into two halves. He says, "Shetotzi haaretz haguf." The universe, the material, physical universe, should produce man's body, his material element, miyisodeha, from this yisod, just as he had done in the case of Behema and Chaya. And the Ramban proves this from a pasuk. Ayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam afar min hadama. Man is dust from the earth. So this pasuk elucidates and demonstrates that the aretz, the afar, creates the element, the physical element of man. However, there's another element to man. Man is not just a creature who is a product of the aretz, who shares the material animalistic membership in that kingdom. But there's another element to man. This is, I guess you'd say, Adam the second. V'yitein hu yisbarach. Now God himself may be exalted. He enters into the picture, plays an active role. And what does he contribute to the creation of man? Haruach mipi elyon. The spirit that comes from on high. Kidechsiv, as it says, v'yipach bi'apov nishmas chayim. That God blew into man this neshama, this spiritual force of life. So it's fascinating that Ramban takes two psukim, both of which describe the creation of man, and combines them and integrates them into one whole picture. There's Vayitzer Elokim Asadam Afar Min Adama. Man is Afar Min Adama, he comes from the ground, but yet Vayipapiyat from Nishmas Chaim, God plays a role here in blowing in the Nishmas Chaim into man. So there is a partnership which really leads to a duality of man. But the creation of man as a physical being is something that in the Ramban's perspective is on a level of the divine act of creating man as a spiritual being. So man's physicality and his spirituality make up a beautiful combination of what man is. So let's just review the Ramban. The Ramban is saying that on the first day of creation, God created something from nothing, this formless matter which has a potential and it has to be actualized. And after the first day, God molded this formless matter into actual living things. On the sixth day, the universe was ready, but man was missing. He was lacking. So Almighty God speaks to Aretz. He addresses the Yisod of Aretz, which is the physical, natural universe, and God tells the universe to bring forth the body of man, the physiology of man, the biology of man. Man is basically an animal body. He, God, breathes into man a spiritual soul. And so we have two elements of man. So for Rashi, the common denominator here between God and the angels of Nas Adam is the spiritual element. In other words, according to Rashi, the entire thrust of creation, as mentioned here, as formulated here in the Pasuk Nas Adam, is the spiritual element. And man's physicality doesn't even get a footnote here in the story of creation. Whereas the Ramban elevates man's physicality, the creation of his material body, to I would call it a 50% partnership in the process of creation. So the Rav Zichron Levracha saw in this Rashi / Ramban dispute about how to interpret Nasa Adam a fundamental split in two directions about the very philosophy of what man is and what his essence is all about. So just to paraphrase something I heard from the Rav, he speaks about the Greek philosophers who emphasize man's mind or his soul as the primary element of man. The body is just a jail which incarcerates the soul. The soul is not happy to be in the body. The body is not something that man is proud of. In Christian theology, for example, you find the same idea that comes from the ancient philosophers, namely that the spiritual element of man is the true man, and physicality, that's just a jail for the soul. But on the other hand, Yadus, in Jewish thought, there was no philosophy of asceticism, you know, like the monks who don't get married. None of that was accepted. Marriage and physicality, all aspects of human life under the natural law, under the biological law, is all brought into focus and plays a major role in the service of God. There may have been short periods of time, mostly after persecutions and massacres and anti-Semitic pogroms, where there were individual movements, but very limited, of asceticism, of Tshuvas HaMishkal, Rav Yudah Chassid, of removing oneself from his physical pleasures and trying to beat up the body and roll in the snow and all that. What do you say?
Pshischa and a few other the Chassidim.
Even to this day, had such a thing, right, where they deny the physicality and they try to beat down the body. But these are just individual limited movements. That's not really the normative, healthy, middle-of-the-road path of Judaism. The Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim, in the third Chelek, speaks about how man, in serving God, has to take proper care of his body. He should never abuse his body. In fact, halachically, man has no real ownership over his body. The body is holy. Suicide is murder. The concept of kiddush haguf, meaning sanctifying the body rather than defiling it through promiscuity and other things, but to elevate the body, this is the center of Jewish halakha, of Jewish moral law. The entire Shulchan Aruch, from beginning to end, addresses food, sexual relations, how to live a disciplined life, how to elevate the goof. The physicality of man is something that's critical. Medicine, for example, is put on high. Rapo yirape, man should discipline himself to avoid illness. And the Rambam, as we know, was a great physician. So was the Ramban and others of the Rishonim. The idea of maintaining the physical health of a person, doing exercise, something that my wife is always yelling me about, that Azari, you don't do enough exercise. I mean, this is all something that's part of Jewish life. It's not the asceticism of beating down the body, but on the contrary, of treating the body well. Now, on Shabbos and Yontif, we jump into kibud and oneg meaning the food that we eat, the beautiful celebration of Shabbos, the aura that we create, the clothes that we wear. Even on Yom Kippur, we wear special clothes. All this, according to the Ramban, derives from Nasa Adam. The entire philosophy of Jewish morality is built on this one phrase in the Torah, Nasa Adam, where God addresses himself to nature, to the natural law, as an equal partner with him in the making of man. And symbolically, the Rav said, that means we have to accept the natural part of man as an equal partner to the spiritual personality of man. So the aim here is not to deny the drives for food and sexual pleasure, but rather to channel them, to discipline them, to uplift them, in order that they, these very drives, should contribute to Kiddushas, to Kiddush HaGuf. But here the Rav added something phenomenal. He said that this Ramban of Nasa Odom has another implication that is absolutely fundamental. And here the Ramban is very unique. What is Olam Haba? The Rambam says that this world is a physical world, we'll die, there'll be Tchias HaMesim, and then we'll die a second time, and then our souls, our neshama, will go into Olam HaBa. The Ramban denies it. The Ramban believes not only in the eternity of the soul, that the body dies, decomposes, and the soul continues to exist in a world which is beyond time, beyond space, but the Ramban holds that there's much more to Tchias HaMesim. The immortality of the physical element of man, of man's body. Olam HaBa, according to the Ramban's theory, involves the Tchia of the guf, the resurrection of the physical body of man. At the time of Mashiach, man will become Tahar, he will be purified. And when man is restored to life at Tchias HaMesim, he's restored both in body and soul. So at the end of the day, not only is the soul eternal, but the body is eternal. And all this can be traced to the Ramban's philosophy of Nasa, the equality between the spiritual and the physical elements of man. You know, if man's physicality is secondary, then after death, that's it. You know, or after Tchias HaMesim, the second round, that's it. There's no reason to resurrect the body and bring it back into eternal life. But according to the Ramban, that the body is so critical, it's part and parcel of the essence of man, then it doesn't make sense that the body should decompose forever and ever. It shouldn't be part of the glorious experience of Olam HaBa.